In the beginning was the Lord.
The Lord was with God, and the Lord was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light of the Lord shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Our Lord, the true light that gives life to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The Lord became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He was born into the world, the child of a virgin, born to a carpenter. His name was Jesus. Now comes the light. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman answered, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman. "God knows that when you eat from that, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Now comes the darkness. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. And the Lord God regretted that he had made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord God regretted that he had made man on earth. He was grieved in his heart. About 3 months ago, I read a Facebook post from an old colleague. The Facebook post was describing his child, who I believe is in fourth grade. It said that he had to sit down with his child and explain to him that he could not say the word frickin' on the playground in place of the actual F word, which he had been using previously. The son was unhappy that he couldn't do that, so he said to his dad, "That's BS," but he said the actual words. The dad posted that transaction on Facebook. It got over 100 likes and a string of compliments from colleagues and friends and people, some of whom I know to be followers of Christ. One specifically said, "I sure love that story." That this little boy is being raised up in a world that thinks that's a funny thing. To have a child so upset that he can't say the F word on the playground and he can't say a fill-in word for it, then he would swear to his father, and the father and apparently the mother would find that to be funny. And society would too. Not too long after, there was another Facebook post from a different person that I am acquainted with who's going to have a child. And they were doing a poll to get names. They specifically wanted names for the child that were neutral gender. The reason being, as they stated, they wanted the child to be able to make their own decision as to what gender they would be when they grew up. Again, a stream of positive posts and encouragements for their progressive attitude. And this young child is going to grow up being raised and taught that God didn't create them, that they are going to choose their own created status. We live in a dark world. We live in a world that has people that fly planes into buildings to express their opinions. We have a world where people shoot children at school. We have a world that is going dark. We have a God that knew that would happen. We have a God that at one point in history regretted that he had made man on earth and was grieved in his heart. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now comes the light. He took up our pain and bore our suffering. He was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was placed upon him. The Lord has laid on him the sin of us all." The punishment that brought us peace was placed on him. The sin of us all was laid upon him. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and two criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. Now comes the darkness. It was now about noon, and the darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun had stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. When he had said this, he breathed his last. Now comes the darkness. A man named Joseph from Arimathea went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. He took it down and wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a tomb cut into the rock where no one had ever lain. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Now comes the light." He's not here. He is risen. And he told us this. He said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." He rose from the dead so that you and I could have light in our lives. The world brings darkness. Facebook brings darkness. The teachings of our civilization that's progressive and human-minded brings darkness. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He said, I've come that you might have life and have life abundantly. That let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from them. See, he came because we were dead. We were dead in our transgressions and our sins, in our distance from God. We weren't dead because of an action that we did. We weren't dead because we swore at our mom or because we killed somebody. We weren't dead because of our specific actions. We were dead because of our distance from God. So Jesus came. And he came not to teach us how to live, but to make it so we can live. He came not to show us the way, but to be the way. And the only way is the way. It's not that we figured out a secret path or a hidden way. We didn't find out a set of behaviors that make it so we can slip by the bad guy and get to God. He showed us himself. And he took our space on the death seat and gave us the opportunity to have life. And not just a little life, life how God created it, life abundantly, that we would be filled with light in our lives, that our lives would overflow with living water. And I have to ask you, is that true today for you? Is your life filled with light? Is your life overflowing with living water? Are you filled with the person of Jesus Christ today? You're in church today. That doesn't save you. That doesn't even add to your list of good actions, because you have no list of good actions. You have no accomplishments that warrant presence in the presence of God, except the death of Jesus Christ. Do you have that today? Have you come to the Lord and said, Lord, this life is dark, and my heart is dark, and my life actions are dark, but you are the light. You have given me the opportunity, because you died on the cross for me, to have life. Do you have that? Because otherwise, this Easter service is of no meaning. It doesn't accomplish anything in your life to just go to church on Easter. And while if you're a guest here, you're welcome and we love to have you, I have to ask you, do you live for Jesus, not visit him? You can't visit Jesus. He visits you in your heart because you invite him in, because he died on the cross. And this is what he says, it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. You're free from death. You're free from the penalty of sin. You're free from the burden of everything that you have ever done and the distance that was between you and God. You're free from. Now, the thing you have to have in your head, though, is all of those things you're freed from have been placed on Jesus Christ. That his mission on the cross wasn't just to die. It was to carry all your garbage with him to the tomb. That was the goal, that he would take your stuff that would keep you eternally in hell and set you free. Are you free? Is your heart free? It doesn't mean you don't struggle, but is your heart free? Do you have peace in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have light in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because here's the thing. The fundamental belief of Christianity is not that Jesus died for your sins, though he did. The fundamental belief of Jesus Christ, or about Jesus Christ, is that he's risen. The only relevant fact is that he has risen, because if all he did was die, we've got nothing. Without him having risen, he didn't triumph over death and hell and Satan. If he stayed in the tomb, and so many Christians today don't really believe that he rose from the grave. They just think that he was a guy that died on the cross. If all he did is died on the cross, let's get up and go home, because it has no value. Without the resurrection, there's no value. You have to believe in the resurrection. That's the basis of Christianity. Is Jesus was in the tomb for 2 days and rose up and walked out and is still alive today. And it's not just a little, he's alive in my heart. My mom and dad are alive in my heart. They died a few years ago. They're alive in my heart. It's not that. He's alive. He's still alive. He rose from the grave and ascended into heaven as Jesus Christ. If you don't believe that, you don't believe in Jesus. If you don't believe that, you don't understand the power of Jesus Christ. If you don't believe that, you don't understand what Jesus has done for you. Because if all he did was die for you, you're stuck with a dead God. And your God's alive and well today. He's alive and well today. What that means is you have nothing to fear. What that means is you have nothing to be ashamed about. Because there's no condemnation in a living Christ. It's all paid for. Everything is paid for. Amen. And alive, you and Jesus Christ in you. Alive. I'm going to ask you to just a minute to close your eyes. We don't do sermons in the middle of service very often, but we are today because I want us to be free to worship Jesus when we sing our Easter worship songs. And I know we're a little shy sometimes. I'm going to ask you with your eyes shut, raise your hand if you're alive and well in Jesus. Raise your hand if you're alive and well in Jesus Christ. And if you're not, then just this moment say, Jesus, I want your salvation, my salvation to be in your hands, and I want your blood to have washed me clean, and I want your resurrection to rise in me so that I am alive too. And then raise your hand because you belong to Jesus Christ. Now put your hand down. If you are unable to do that, that's okay. It's okay. There is a journey to salvation. There's a journey. So if you've come into church and you're trying to learn and you're just a seeker, you're trying to understand, then let me make it simple. Jesus Christ died for you because you are already dead. And the only way that you can become alive in the kingdom of God is for Jesus to rise from the grave and you to rise with him in your heart. That's how it happens. That's what salvation is. Salvation is not an intellectual, oh, yep, I think that Jesus guy's pretty good. It's saying, I'm dead, God, and I need life. And I know you died so you could be dead with me and bring me back into life with your resurrection. That's how it happens. And when you're ready to do that, you just tell him. You don't need a pastor. You don't need anybody. You just tell him, I'm ready to have you give me life and life abundantly. We're going to sing some songs to Jesus, about Jesus, for Jesus. I wanted to do this sermon. I'll say a few words when we're done singing, but I wanted to do this sermon now so that we can come before Jesus Christ and express our gratitude for his death and his life. Friday, Good Friday, is a dark day, and it's supposed to be. Sunday is the day Jesus rises from the dead, and it's supposed to be a day of joy and happiness and us expressing our gratitude to Christ. So when the music team comes up, sometimes we're a little bashful about singing. Let's pretend just for a minute, because we're not pretending. We're singing to the God of the universe who's alive and well. He is risen. You know when Christ gets a hold of your heart, because it changes in ways you didn't expect. You become things you hadn't planned on. You start to love people you didn't like. if that's actually not ever happened to you, then you need to confront your Savior with your heart and say, Lord, make me like you. He died on the cross for you. He took your sins on his back, paid the price for you. When it says a ransom for many, that means for each of us, but he was a ransom. He was an exchange cost for you. But without Easter, to no avail. With Easter, all the promises that God's ever made are true for you. That he knows the plans that he has for you, that nothing that comes to you would not have come through his hands, that anything that seems like it's evil will not be evil for you, because he promises all things work together for good for those who love him. Who's the light of the world? He is. He said so. He said, I am the light of the world. But he also said this, now you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see. The outcome of the crucifixion had to be the resurrection, because death had to be defeated. But the outcome of the resurrection has to be a changed you. It has to be that you become the light of the world. Because he now lives in you. The next time he comes back will be the last time he comes back. Until he comes back, it's you and me, the new light of the world. He's got to change your heart and cause resurrection life in you so that you can be the light of the world. And there will be a day when the God of the universe will say to us, you have risen. And all of creation will say, we have risen indeed. Have a great Easter. God bless you. Celebrate his life and yours. In Jesus' name, amen.